This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
We are 2 days until Christmas. It is the 23rd of December, which means we are on our 23rd movie for our At The Movies advent calendar. I'm Umar Pagan Ampake Pagan, joined by Ian McNally and Bahe Yusuf. Today, we're taking on the Bill Murray classic. It's Scrooged, released in 1988, directed by the great Richard Donner, of course, responsible for Superman, the Lethal Weapon movies, The Omen, Goonies. The list goes on. The movie stars Bill Murray as Frank Cross. It's got Karen Allen, Alfred Woodard, Robert Mitchum, John Forsythe, Bobcat Goldthwait just in this hilarious role. And Bill Murray plays Frank Cross, who is this talented, soulless TV network producer who is approaching the Christmas season in an incredibly foul mood. He has cut himself off from everyone he loves. He takes delight in humiliating his colleagues, and he leads a very lonely life, only to be visited in Christmas Carol fashion by the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. And yeah, what we have is a very modern take on A Christmas Carol that opens with a terrorist attack on Santa's grotto.
I was going to say, I think the title of the movie is called The Night the Reindeer Died.
Yes, that's right.
The Night the Reindeer Died. I'd totally watch that.
And it's got the $6 million man.
I'd watch that.
I mean, before we get into the film, that opening sequence, I forgot. I watched it again, right? So I hadn't seen Scrooge in a long time. And I forgot that the movie opens with this fake ad for a fake show. Mm-hmm. And for about a minute, I was really confused as to what was going on. And then I was like, this is brilliant. This is genius.
Oh, no, but they completely leaned on it, right? They didn't show it. They didn't cut out to, like, people watching it in the TV. You know,
Until the absolute end.
Yeah.
The poster has Bill Murray on it, so people are going to come for him anyway. So we might as well mess with their heads.
Yeah, it totally messes with your heads. Hey, did you know this? Paramount originally marketed the movie using a Ghostbusters reference.
Really?
Yeah, so they originally marketed the movie as Bill Murray is back among the ghosts, only this time it's 3 against 1.
Oh, really? No. Oh, God. Did it come out in the same year or the year after?
No. You know why? What happened was Bill Murray had done his first dramatic role in The Razor's Edge, which was really rubbish. And he had taken a hiatus from movie making for about 4 years. So this was his return to, like, comedy.
Okay.
And I think he was freaking out that it was going to be a box office bomb. And I think Paramount thought, hey, let's sell this with Ghostbusters because everybody loved Ghostbusters. Yeah, they quickly changed that to something along the lines of, it's time to discover the true meaning of Christmas.
They went with that tagline. And here's Annie Lennox.
Yeah, exactly. No, this is such a fun movie, which nobody liked at the time, guys.
Like, I liked it at the time.
I did too.
I think I saw this in the cinema.
Did you?
Really?
I think so, just because it looked like, ooh, ghosts. Maybe it wasn't the ghost. I don't think we got the Ghostbusters advertising in Ireland, but I reckon it was like...
Oh.
I mean, I think the advertising did have the Ghost of Christmas Future, which was like this
skeletal
TV-headed monster.
Yeah, it was like...
Yeah, I'm in.
I liked it from, like, the first time I saw
Same.
It. Yeah, this is, how do you not like this movie? I don't understand it.
Roger Ebert absolutely hated it.
He
gave it a 1-star review.
Ooh.
Which,
nobody's perfect.
Which, I know, which in an interview many years later with Bill Murray actually brought it up and goes, so how are you going to defend your 1-star review of Scrooge? And Roger Ebert was like, I didn't think you were going to bring that up.
Did you defend it?
He just said, I guess it just didn't sit well with me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's a weird movie because, you know, so it plays on Scrooge and it plays on A Christmas Carol. But
in the weirdest way.
Exactly.
And a lot of it is just Bill Murray mugging.
Being Bill Murray,
you know,
right?
When the golf ball comes out of his old partner's head and it's just bouncing?
Yeah.
And it doesn't, the bounce doesn't get any lower. And just the look on Bill Murray's face is just like, first of all, it's a gasp. But then it's like, why is this happening to me?
Even when he's like walking through the street after he experiences the Ghost of Christmas Past and he's like rushing to see Karen Allen. And he's just rambling like a madman as he's walking towards the shelter. It is the weirdest thing.
And then you throw in a random Richard Burton impression, which is nothing like Richard Burton. It's just like, he's just like, and the guys love it. These homeless guys love
it. Everybody loves it.
I love the Carol Kane as the ghost of Christmas Present as well. Is just like the way they reinvented the ghost is great. The taxi driver is just like, can you get me to the IBC building? It's like, which floor? And just like, why does the ghost of Christmas Present have to hit you in the head every time you transport from place to place? I don't know, but it's great.
It's great.
I
and then her voice as well.
Yeah, for me, the ghost of Christmas Present was the one that scared me the most. She was just complete lunacy.
Even over the skeleton.
Even over the skeleton, over the ghost of Christmas Past, where he opens up the jacket and she's just like,
there's just demons inside
screaming. I was like, nope, still the present, because that woman's crazy.
You know, she grabs Bill Murray's lip.
Yes.
In that
scene. Yes.
Apparently she tore his lip.
Oh, yeah. God.
She has such a tight grip, and apparently they had to take a break from shooting.
Yeah, I remember, I read that just before I watched it, so I was keeping an eye on that. But no, yeah, she's just crazy. She scares me the most.
No, this along with A Muppet's Christmas Carol is, I think, two of my favorite adaptations of A Christmas Carol, because I think you get the message across very, very clearly.
But you modernize it in a way that's fun and different. And they're very different movies, even though they both have puppets in them.
And then it works, right?
Yeah.
And it works really well. I mean, Bill Murray apparently based his character upon the headlines he would read in newspapers every day, because it was a very truthful depiction. I say truthful, but, you know, in a kind of caricaturish way of how we see corporate America, or more so, I guess, television production in Hollywood studios.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Bobcat Goldthwait story is that 80s thing of like, you're getting fired at Christmas and corporate America has just chewed you up and spat you out.
Yeah, and you've got no money.
And you can't get a drink. Every time he tries to get a drink, something happens to it. It's a small little gag that runs through it.
I don't know. I tend to get really annoyed with Bobcat Goldthwait. I really liked him in this one.
He's used sparingly.
He's used really sparingly, really nicely.
The other thing the movie does well, I think, is kind of running it in parallel with a production of Scrooge that's going on, only it's from the twisted mind of Frank Cross.
Yes.
Where there are go-go dancers with nipples showing. Yeah.
Charles Dickens would have wanted to see her nipples. I quickly wrote that down. Like, yo, I'm quoting that on the radio. That's the one I want. Yeah.
And okay, so the only question I have for you guys is, did you feel at the end of the movie, when he has this big revelation, when he interrupts this production of Scrooge to share his Christmas spirit with the world, did that feel genuine or forced? Because for me, and it works either way, because for me it felt like here was a man who was desperately, he hadn't necessarily come to this revelation by way of peace. It wasn't like, I've noticed the magic of Christmas and I'm a better person. The way Bill Murray delivered that was, oh my God, I need this Christmas thing. If not, I'm going to die.
Yeah, I mean, it's the other side of the Christmas Carol, which is that you've wasted enough time.
Yeah.
And you don't get all the time you think you have.
No.
So use it wisely.
Yeah.
I just felt, I had it in my notes, that last monologue presentation bit that Bill Murray does to camera.
Where he just comes out of the side of the set. Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm alive.
Yeah. But it feels like a very TV evangelical
thing. It feels like
thing.
SNL, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's talking to the camera, right?
Yeah, yeah, he does. He
and
does,
everyone's
yeah.
like, what's going on?
Yeah. But it also feels, to me, it felt a bit like TV evangelical, that sort of like drive. You must get the spirit of Christmas in you, you know? I'm just like, I don't know if I like the way that movie.
I need a Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
I think at the time as well, the Annie Lennox, Al Green song, Put a Little Love in Your Heart, was everywhere around that time coming out. And it's just a really good way to, like, I love it when they, because the cast are singing along at the end, right? I love it it's like, no, we're using this song. We're not going to tack a song onto later. Mm-hmm. It's like, it seems like it's built into the making of a movie.
Yeah.
Because it's not always that way. Sometimes it's like, we'll add the music on later or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's always like nice to have the cast singing the song and then cutting into the song.
Yeah, no, Richard Donner had a tough time because he said in interviews that Bill Murray had a bad experience with that, well, I say straight movie, the serious movie that he did, that he really didn't want to be on camera. He said it was absolute hell. He would do anything to get out of being in front of the camera.
Well,
he
then would tell don't stories. Sign up to be the main star in a movie. What do you want me to pay you for, brushing the sets?
I know. He would apparently like tell stories. He would come in fully clothed or completely naked. It was just hilarious, apparently. Huh. And I think he had a tough time getting him in that mood because he was just so unsure of himself.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, the end product, I mean, yeah, Roger Ebert wasn't the only one who didn't like it. I was looking back at what critics thought of Scrooge back in the day, and everyone just was incredibly lukewarm to this movie.
Wow.
And I don't know why. I mean, I watch it again and I'm like, no, this is a comedic masterpiece. I think Bill Murray was on top form.
Yeah.
It's my quintessential Christmas movie. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you haven't seen it, I don't know why, but you got to watch it.
Go check out Scrooge. It is the 23rd movie on our At the Movies Advent calendar. We are still standing. Let us know what you've thought about our selection so far. I'm on Twitter, at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahiwai.
This is At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.